Okay, yep, looks like we're in business.
So, this is David Shank, and I'm talking with Mr. R.F. Bain at his home on Green River Road. And so how long you've lived your whole life here in the valley, Mr. Bain?
Yes, sir, I've been here 73 years.
73 years.
Yes, sir.
And this property where we're sitting right now is part of the old family property.
Yes, sir. Along my granddaddy Joseph Lane.
Uh-huh.
And I bought it and his daughter Ruby Lane.
Uh-huh. Right. We'll lift this up here where we can have it work a little better. So your grandfather, did it go back further in the family than that?
Yes, sir. His daddy owned it at one time.
Right.
His name was Davis Lane.
Right.
And he also owned the Frosty Lake, on Mr. Shanks' Frosty. I guess you heard of the Lane Field.
Yes.
He owned several acres right there.
Uh-huh.
And Grace Harder's family there.
Right. And the family mostly farmed on the land?
Yes, sir. That's all my granddaddy ever done.
Uh-huh. What kind of farming?
He just kept a couple of cows, some chickens, raised corn, stuff
uh-huh.
to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
He carried milk, butter, eggs down to the company store.
Right, down at the mill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the neighbors was good to help one another, you know. Then they didn't have much way of cutting hay and stuff, or enough property to have a lot of hay. And
right.
they cut the tops
off uh-huh.
and shocked them full of water.
Right.
And the neighbors pitch in to help one another do it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a little boy, they would pour water, cut tops. I was too little to reach up and cut the tops, but I could pour water.
Uh-huh.
And all the kids always work. And nowadays, that's a different story.
Well, that's right.
They have to have Mexicans to come in here to pick the tomatoes and things.
Mm-hmm.
My two kids, they worked for Grover Ward.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they was big enough to pull a vein off the line.
Right.
They went to school.
Right. So Mr. Ward had a lot of, he grew a lot of produce?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
And it's mostly whole beans.
Right, whole beans, yeah.
And we always made the kids think they had to buy their own school clothes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'd save their money. And
right.
the wife taking a lot of clothes.
Right.
Of course, we'd buy what they had to have, but we'd make them think they had to buy it.
Right.
And my wife taught my kids to tithe off every dime. As
mm-hmm.
far as I know, both of them tithed off every dime ever made.
Well.
And the Lord has blessed them.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them has got it. They got it without anything they want.
Uh-huh. And your son, Randy, lives across... Right across the road, is that
no,
right?
Sure, he lives on the back side.
Oh, back side.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
In a log house.
Oh, okay.
That's
I saw
his office. And he used to have a front building in the basement. But he's turning that into an apartment.
Uh-huh.
My granddaughter, the only
right.
one I got, she got married Saturday.
Oh, wow, well, congratulations.
She's going to live in there till they get on a house there.
Uh-huh. And that's Randy's daughter?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, congratulations. You're proud of her, I bet.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Sweetest little girl ever lived.
Uh-huh. I believe it.
I shed a few tears when she got hurt.
I bet you did.
But I was happy. She got a good name.
Yeah. My son got married last May, and I shed a few tears then, too, although he's married to the most wonderful girl. But, you know, those are important times.
Yeah. And I was talking about the kids working in the lane field.
Uh-huh.
I got two kids, Randy and Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
And she was picking lane. She's 17 years old. And our brother was Daddy Sheriff out in Jackson.
Right.
And he came to the lane field and asked her if she wanted a job as secretary for the sheriff.
Right.
And it kind of scared her. She didn't know what to do. So I told her, go ahead and try it. And they put her in the office of her where you arrow ought to count the in hole to see the sure. Got that glass in a little hole.
Right.
And she was very shy about the hug. But it didn't take her long to get used to it, you know. She worked as a sure secretary for, I don't know exact date, but like 6-7 years. And he asked her if she'd be willing to take over child leave. And she's kind of nervous about that. She took it. And she's done that for about 8 years. And it got to getting to her, you know.
Right.
So he heard her down in criminal investigation. And she went to every school that she'd go to. And she went to Quantico, Virginia, that FBI school.
Right, yeah.
She got a real good education in law, and she became a homicide detective.
Wow.
And she retired after 30 years of service. And the last time I was guilty, she didn't have not one case that wasn't closed when she retired.
Well, that's a big change for a shy young girl.
Yes. And she got to go, got to travel a lot. And she got to go to Hawaii on down around the prisoner.
Right.
Her and Sandy Jackson, he was a homicide detective. They worked together most of the time. They both got to go and ring that prisoner.
So both of your children have traveled all around.
Yes, sir.
But you were telling me before we turned this machine on that you were out of the Green River Valley for 4 years in the Navy, but you felt like this was the place you had to be.
Yes.
Could you tell me about that again so we can get it on the machine?
Yeah, well, when I went in the Navy, there wasn't no jobs around here. I cut hook wood, and there wasn't no money at all in that. And I decided I'd go in the Navy, and I never went out. I never even went to Asheville.
Right.
And me and a friend of mine, J.C. Eddingfield, went to borrowed his brother's car and went to Asheville to the recruiting office and signed up. Like not got that guy to Asheville.
Right.
We stopped and asked him what he had to get on 25.
Right.
But anyhow, we signed up. We went to Hendersonville, got on the bus, and went to Columbia, South Carolina, and took a physical. They put us on a train, sent us to San Diego.
That's a long train ride.
I rode the trains for 5 days and 5 nights. I never been on a train.
Right.
We got into San Diego and we got off the train. There was a big old chief petty officer come out there and he started talking rough.
Right.
Fall in. We didn't know what fall in meant. Back in, they kind of rough. He jerked you around.
Right.
Thank you, Holly.
Right.
But I thought, Lord, what have I got into now? And he had all them 20-year stripes, and him
right.
Chief Petty Officer, and I thought he was the commander of the Navy.
But he probably acted like it.
Yeah. I got through boot camp good.
Mm-hmm.
Never got no trouble in boot camp. I done cut tough wood, and I was a pretty tough boy.
I bet.
No, the push-ups was hard, but I got used to them real quick because I had a lot of strength in the arm.
Right.
And a lot of the whole boys never worked and nothing. It was rough on me. But the hoot camp really wasn't rough on me. And, you know, I went over a tin can. They just promised me that they sent me to Michigan to hot fitter school.
Right.
That was to get me in, you know.
Right. Then they forgot about it.
They hooked me on a tin can and hooked me down in the hard room. I punched Werner's and Waller.
Right.
But I enjoyed the Navy and enjoyed all the places I went.
You went to Korea and the China Sea, Philippines.
Yes, sir.
All around in the Far East.
Yes, sir. Right. Hong Kong.
Right.
And surprising thing, I didn't know nobody else from around this area that was in the Navy. Well, I was walking down the street just as I got out of boot camp in San Diego, and that's all I went to school with. Name is Tuffy Crawford. And we pulled into Hong Kong one Sunday morning, and the officer's deck called me to come up here. and Harold Hayes' twins, Gerald and Harold.
Uh-huh.
They both went and they did the same time, but they separated them when they ran. And Harold found out I was on that ship, and he come to visit during the all day.
That's the most amazing thing, how you run into people. I mean, the Green River Valley is a small place, and you're in Hong Kong running into people.
Yeah, and I was walking down the street in the coast of Japan one night.
Uh-huh.
And run into a good buddy, J.C.'s heading field. One of them went in the Navy.
Right, yeah, y'all went in together.
I mean, they just hundreds of people in the streets.
Right.
We run face to face together.
So after you got out, you said you were thinking you might make some big money in California, but then you decided that you belonged here.
Yeah, well, and JC went out there, and we wasn't skilled in anything, so we joined the Layers Union.
Right.
And I called home and told Daddy what I was making. I was making $3.35 an hour.
Uh-huh.
And he was making $1.50 an hour character.
Uh-huh.
And he thought I was blowing smoke.
Right.
But we really made some good money. I worked on the Los Angeles Long Beach flood control.
Uh-huh.
I worked real hard to start with. I've always considered myself a good worker. Putting riffraff on the banks there.
Yeah, right. That's hard work.
So come out there about the third day I was up there, and he's calling me up to the truck, and I figured he's going to fire me. Had two or three other boys working there, and they wasn't doing nothing with us. I was laying with it. He said, "I see you're a good worker." I said, "I'm going to give you a good job." He took me down to the office, introduced me to the chief engineer. He said, "I want you to drive this Jeep and do whatever he asks you to do." So I'd drive the Jeep car, and we'd go out, and he'd lay out work for the engineers in the morning. Then we'd drive downtown, have a glass of tea.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I had it made. And worked out 3 or 4 months of that. And all of a sudden, Truckers Union went on strike. And he said, "Boy, they ain't gonna be no work there long because they can't get, truckers can't get material in here, this job. We don't work."
Right.
So I went home that night. JC was working for a housing contractor. I said, "I don't know if that's you, but I'm headed back to Green River tonight." He said, "Let's go." So we loaded up our stuff. Headed that, and we drove all the way through California. Didn't stop. You know, we stopped to get gas.
Right.
Get
that's a long haul.
Yeah.
So you're ready to be back here?
Yes, sir. I come back, still hard to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
But I just worked a little here and on, and I finally went to work out Cranston Rent Work.
Right.
Like $1 and $0.05 an hour on third shift.
Right. But you never wanted to work in the textile mill?
No.
Your mother worked in the mill.
Yeah.
43 years, you told me.
43 years. My dad worked in there off and on. He done a little bit of everything. He logged.
Mm-hmm.
Things get rough, he'd go down and get a job anytime he wanted. You know?
Right. Yeah, I've heard people say that they would work down there in the winter and then either quit or get themselves fired in the spring and do their farming and then go back in the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good thing for a lot of people.
Just to be able to use it that way.
And they went on a strike down there.
When was that?
I believe it was 1955.
Uh-huh.
54, 55. And I never seen no such in my life. It was rough.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it kind of, I don't know, it done something to the people. Kind of separated them, you know.
The people who were working in the in the plant?
Some was for the union, some wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And I just got out of the Navy. So that was 55.
Right.
I went down there a time or two. They had a gang of people down there. People fighting and fussing.
Uh-huh.
Little shooting.
Right.
Somebody loaded up Ernie Orson's those houses.
Right.
All kind of bad things happen. Yeah, I hate to see that. It didn't bother me then, but I look back on it. You know, I hate to see it because it separated a lot of families.
Right. I guess I've heard people say that it was real. One of the major changes in the community, I guess it changed the voices. They sold it after that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So J.P. Stevens.
J.P. Stevens,
yeah.
Right. And J.P. Stevens ran it for what, 30 more years before
yeah,
it closed?
Yeah, something like
it?
That, I guess.
So when was the four-lane built? 25.
I can't remember. The closest I can remember, I was working in Greenville, South Carolina, and I bought a new 1972 Ford pickup.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go down to the water shed down 25.
Right.
And they had the road, just gravel and stuff down. Had the barricades up, and every once in a while, however late, I'd slip around the barricade and come
up. Yeah, right.
So it must have been around the 70s when it started, somewhere along there.
I heard some people say that made a big difference for their life here in the valley.
It did, but it cut off a lot of things in Tuxedo.
Mm-hmm.
A friend's restaurant down there.
Right.
Well, there's two restaurants, and it hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Kind of cut the Green River Valley community
See,
off from
come
Tuxedo.
Right through Tuxedo then.
Right.
And a lot of people stopped to Calhoun, especially truckers.
Right.
They'd stop there and eat either cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. But with the four lane, they just
it didn't
roll
just
on
kind
through.
Of right Tuxedo off and out.
Yeah.
I went to that Tuxedo school down there.
Mm-hmm.
And my son went to school down there. And when he graduated 7th grade to the 8th of Flat Rock, Flat Rock weren't down, and he had to come back to Tuxedo for the 8th grade.
Right.
It's some young man sitting in a schoolhouse on fire back then.
Huh.
I don't know if you ever remember it or not.
No.
I can't even remember his name.
So he did a lot of them.
It's that took it. That's the only one that I can remember completely down.
Right.
And we talked about my mother.
Yes.
And my daddy. Like I said, he done a little bit of everything. He carted log, cut hook wood, cut heater wood and stuff. So worked in the cotton mill. And he was a constable for 38 years here.
The constable for 38 years.
In the Green River Township. He was elected by the people for 38 years, and then they done away with constable.
So what did a constable do? Is that like a policeman, or is it like a judge?
They had the authority to arrest anybody anywhere in the county for anything that was unlawful. But he concentrated a lot on liquor stealing.
Right.
He cut a lot of liquor stealing. I remember when I guess I was about 10 years old. I went with him across this mountain right here. I won't call on names, but I'll tell you.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
we talking about across the river or the mountain behind us?
Go across the river and across that mountain.
Yeah, okay.
Long mountain, I think they call it. And went down the other side, and right where Wallace Creek Church is. Right now, about 100 yards up the range. Walked in there and had a big steel. And I was barefooted.
Right.
So I was about 9, 10 years old. Kind of scared me. He walked around, stuck his finger in the barrel, food, tasted it, told me when he'd be ready to run. I didn't know nothing about how.
Right.
What he meant with that. A big stack of sugar sitting over there, and shorts. You know, that's I don't know if you know what shorts are or not.
No, I don't.
The hogs, it's made out of wheat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Kind of a rant. They use that to make liquor. Put it in their arrows, put yeast in it. When it worked off, he'd get a hit a phone, let that fish on, and he'd be ready to run.
Right.
Anyhow, come back home. He said, son, don't you tell nobody where you at today or what you done. I said, no, sir.
Right.
I was scared. You know, that's a big thing to me. And
so he would wait. He would go, and he'd figure out when it was going to run, and then he'd go back.
And he'd catch everybody.
Catch them while they were running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they, he called the granular.
Right.
Yeah. He'd usually, when he'd find one like that, he'd call the rangers because then they'd take them to ICE on trial in federal court.
Right.
Well, they had to, they went to, I don't think it was up, two deputies in Henderson County then.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, one of them, Jim Gillum, he was the head deputy. He got him, and he got State Highway Patrol. They put them on one end of Oz Creek and one on the other end. And they didn't have radios or nothing, but they just planned out exactly what they was going to do. The deputy was to go across the mountain and go down in the steel at a certain time. And I had some pictures there, but I don't know where they're at right now, of the guys that they caught. They was all, they didn't get no head dead in it. You know, he caught one of them right down, handcuffed him to a little old sapling, and then he run another one down and caught him. And they had pictures of one of them.
So these are probably people he knew.
Yeah, he knew them all.
And they weren't mad at him?
No. One of them sat in our house, and I remember this. Dad told him, said, I almost called him.
Yeah, don't say names.
Said, you better go back to South Carolina and make your liquor. If you don't, I'm going to catch you. And he kind of chuckled. He said, oh, you could catch him if you wanted to. But anyhow, he caught him.
So it was sort of a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. A dangerous game sometimes,
yeah.
I bet. It sounds like your father was a brave man.
Yeah. I heard a lot of them talk about that before. It wasn't illegal, I don't reckon, to make liquor for a long time.
Right.
And they made it illegal. And a lot of old people, all of them that I knew that talked about, they're dead now. But I talked to one man, he said he made liquor. Do you know where that place there, back on the CC Road, used to be a camp.
On the old CCC road?
Yeah.
Is it Falling Creek? No.
Hey.
Right. Right.
I'm trying to think of the man's name that owned it then. But he was a caretaker for him. And he told me he made liquor in the same furnace. And had him a tent over it. And he worked every day like working a job. For 5 years.
Wow.
And I said, how'd you get that liquor out of there? He said he hauled it on a wagon and a yoke of oxen to Hendersonville.
Uh-huh. I've heard people say that it was a whole lot easier to haul liquor than it was enough corn or enough anything else to make that much money.
I mean,
you get it right down there in a little jug.
Yeah.
But getting work in the valley has always been, since the war. The Second World War.
Yeah.
Been challenging. People have gone out to DuPont and other places.
Yeah. That's probably one reason a lot of people had liquor.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But I was glad to see that DuPont plant come in. A lot of people. It really helped a lot of people. A lot of people got to retire.
Mm-hmm. But you've talked about you worked at DuPont, you worked down in Greenville, you worked in Asheville, so driving an hour or so to work is just kind of a regular thing for people in the valley.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, gas wasn't much then.
Right, no, it's changed, hasn't it? So why do people stay in the valley? Why do they love it so much? I mean, you came all the way back from California and you know.
Well, I was close to that area down the river, and, you know, good friend to the area.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good place to live.
You said earlier that way back you knew everybody up and down the road, all the people, all the kids, everything else.
Yeah.
So that's one reason to come back.
Yeah. Just all kids get together and play.
Mm-hmm.
It was just fun.
So what are the biggest changes that you've seen? I mean, you're 73, so you've seen a lot happen in this valley.
Yeah.
What are the big changes?
People settling off the land. People moving in here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a boy, you could go anywhere. You know, he wanted to go hunting. I thought I'd talk to him. Kid wanted to go play and walk in the woods. There wasn't nothing said. And I've got neighbors right now that they won't let nobody walk on their property.
Right.
But they take a walk all the way around my property every day.
Uh-huh.
And they come on. One day they asked me if I could. I said, no. Walk all you want to.
Right.
A lot of people come in here and they want to make all kind of changes. You know?
Mm-hmm. What kind of changes? Partly is not letting you on their property like people used to. What else have they done?
Little environmental things. They'll go report you for it.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Our brother-in-law done. Not our brother-in-law. Brother-in-law's son lives right here. He done a little grading out there the other day, and he broke his shoulder, and he hadn't got the silt fence up.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's trying to get somebody to put it up for him. Next day, I don't know what it is, somebody from the county come down and got on to that and told me it'd been so long to get it up. He said, how'd you know that I'd done this? He said, your neighbor over here called her name, called in on you.
Yeah.
And the boy, I don't know if you noticed that curve and took off out there, right up there.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The state is up there. They took that off. And they hadn't finished with it. The horse was operating a track hoe, told me he got pulled off of it for a couple of days on something else. And I mean, it's rocked.
Right.
And he said they called, the same people called a rally on him.
Huh.
He said his horse and said, you get that down and get the get that grass sewed on that.
Uh-huh.
And they sewed grass on rock.
Right.
And just stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. People have a different idea about what the land is for.
Yeah.
How to use it or something. You know, Lynn, who told me to call you and who called you, she said the same thing. She said growing up as a little girl, she just thought that the whole valley was hers.
Yeah.
She could walk wherever she wanted to. The kids played wherever they wanted to. Nobody thought, well, you know, this is Mr. Bain's land, and this is Mr. Osteen's land, and, you know, Mr. Capps's land. They just, kind of everybody went where they wanted to.
I like Sandy's land, Sandy Shanks' land.
Right.
They got hunting clubs and things on that. Now, I don't just go hold her in heart and go hustling out through the woods. And I went and asked Sandy if I could walk out in the rain field.
Right.
I want to take one of the kids, grandkids, and all that out there.
Uh-huh.
He said, why, sure, you go right ahead.
Right.
And I went to her one time. I kind of dreaded this because it was a hunting club, but they just had it leased for deer and grass.
Right.
And a friend of mine liked hunting grass.
Uh-huh.
And we went and asked him if we could go for a grass hunt a little. He said, sure, you go right ahead. So I thought that's all from my stuff.
Yeah, that's good. So do you find grouse? Aren't the grouse about gone now, aren't they?
There's a few. Not many like it was when I was a boy.
Yeah.
When I was a boy, I used to ride that road. Like on a... where you're working, have to go home on account of rain on construction.
Right.
I'd go ride around through there, just drive slow, killing two or three grouse.
Uh-huh. That on the Green River Road?
Yeah, around the CC Road.
Yeah, through there, So one of the big changes is people selling off their land, and I guess, why did they sell the land? I mean, I guess they must have needed the money. Was it taxes, or was it different? What was it?
I think mostly the younger kids get a job away off somewhere, making good money.
Right.
They think, well, I don't need that land anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one reason it's that.
Right.
And the taxes are really getting up so high, it's hard to pay the taxes and you're on Social Security and that's all you got. See, I work construction. I never did have no retirement.
Right.
And the Lord's always blessing me. I'm paying the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you a kid that played a hooker?
Right. Well, you're lucky in that way.
I divided my land up here. I split it up half and half between my daughter and my son.
Right.
So
your daughter lives in the valley now?
No.
No.
She lives in Lockhart. And she's fixing to build her house up on Jump Off her.
Yeah.
But
right.
She's got in her head that she'll build her house the way she thinks she likes it and sell it. And she got another lot.
Uh huh.
She'll build another.
Uh-huh.
Do the changes. And she's planning on building one right on top of this mountain here.
Uh huh. After she does these other two
yeah.
projects. Uh-huh. Well, she sounds like an enterprising woman.
Yeah. Lord bless me, I had a place of, I had 21 acres of Cedar Springs Church there. Lived in an old house, raising a young one from that house.
Mm-hmm. This is on Rock Creek Road, or just
no,
right there at the right there at the church?
No, it's right about a half mile past the church.
Yeah, okay.
And I got a chance to buy this, and I had to sell it to buy this.
Mm-hmm. You said earlier this was the old family place, and you really wanted to be back
yes,
here.
But I'd done it hard. I'd hired the money that built this, bought the old house.
Right.
Kept that. I'd had some retirement.
That's right. That'd been your retirement plan.
Yeah. But a lot of times a hand can't see that.
Right, I know. So, the river itself, did you do much fishing? Did people do much fishing in the river?
Yeah, a lot of people fish. But I hardly ever fish anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to, when I was a boy, we would go down the river and catch them as a trout anytime I wanted to.
Right.
We didn't have a refrigerator. We'd catch them for the evening, bring them house and clean them.
Right.
No other horse all over.
Uh-huh.
She's riding for breakfast this morning.
Uh-huh.
She'd say, man, you eat fish for breakfast? I thought they was awful good.
I bet.
That's the way we eat them.
Uh-huh.
We had to either eat them then or right then or
right.
for breakfast the next morning.
Right. Now the river, I guess we're far enough upstream that it doesn't flood very much. Does it ever... Any floods? I guess I heard that there was a flood that took out the lake at one point.
Yeah, I guess the last 3 years we've had more flooding than we ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right in here.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
One thing, it's twice across the river over here. It used to belong to Mr. Cecil, I think, York Far on it now.
Right, yeah.
My wife's granddaddy owned that land, and he went to Florida and rocked on a little canyon to that little thing about that long, set on the river, right, to keep it from washing.
Uh-huh.
And now a snake can't crawl through that thing.
Uh-huh.
And it throws the water out on this side of the river.
Right.
And another thing, the river stopped up. There's all kind of debris in the river.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, like my granddaddy, he trimmed the river banks every year and cleaned all the anything that fell in the river out and kept the river clean. You could fish up and down the river, not get your hook hung. You could you could fish to save your life away in that river now.
Right.
You can see from the road down there, all kind of old trees and stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Osha County, they said they was going to clean the river, drain the river up, and they stopped down at about the edge of Osha, and they should get some trees from across the road. Down in the water out. And I told that guy, I said, the river's completely stopped up right there, 50 feet. I said, can you get that out? He said, no, Osha just pointed out what we could get.
Mm-hmm.
And not Osha, what is it? What?
It's not DOT. Is it the natural resource people?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyhow. He said he wasn't allowed to get nothing exactly what they horned out.
Right. So it's blocked up with trees and bushes and stuff?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Stuff broke off in the river.
Right.
It'll wash down. I want to get across the way and stuff. Keep getting
Is it silted up at all? silted up or sand built up in the bottom.
Yeah, I wish they cleaned that river up.
But people always farmed or had livestock right up to the river and in and out of the river.
I drive off this place. It never had nothing but corn, rye, and stuff like that on it. I saved down by the pasture, got me some cattle.
And I
was living up there, had the cattle down here. Got up one Sunday morning. Later I got calling and said, "Your cows are in my lean patch."
Probably some happy cows.
Decide I could raise cattle down here and
live up there. So does your property go right down to the river here?
Yes, sir.
How much footage have you got on the river?
I'll tell you the truth, I don't know what it goes from. Right here.
Right.
Down there to where that curve is.
Yeah.
Goes out to a little happening at that curve. That was land, not, it's just a hole in the world together.
I understand. Well, are there other things you can think of that you'd like to tell me about growing up here?
Well,
so did you go to school in the valley?
No, I went to school to Tuxedo.
Did they have the smaller schoolhouses? They had some of those a long time ago, didn't they?
Yeah, but I didn't go to any of them. I remember the one at Cedar Springs.
Right.
When I was a little boy, but they wasn't nobody going to school there.
They'd already moved everybody to Tuxedo.
I lost this land from them. She went to school there. And they had one down at Green River. I don't remember it.
Right.
But the old building stood there right where you turned to go to Oz Creek.
Yeah.
And it was kind of about halfway fell in, and the kids would go to church or get in there and play.
So there was one at where Cedar Springs Church is, and then there was one where the Green River Church is.
That's the only one about an hour. I heard a lot of talk about stuff. I wished I'd have recorded it. Grandpa said they used to have a post office right out here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I hadn't heard about that. I heard about the one in where Ms. Bedingfield worked in Tuxedo.
Where were you at?
Okay. She had to take on a mail. She'd go with her on, can't drive. I'd take her to get groceries. She's good. She'd get snowed in there.
Right, right. Now, they're talking about big snow.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you. What are you saying now?
Well, I had heard stories about those schoolhouses. When was the road paved up this far? The pavement only came a little way out of Tuxedo for a while, is that right?
Yeah, it kind of. I think it ended right out here at this curve.
I think it was Gladson that was telling me about.
Yeah. Jake Settingfield. He's passed away now. His wife's still there. He got to the county commissioner. And he got enough oil somewhere or another to get this road paved. And he was on opposite sides of the politics that I always thought the world of. We got along good. We hit him all good, and he returned the favor.
Right, that's good. Well, the Bain family is one of the families that's been in this valley the longest amount of time, I guess. Is that right?
I imagine so.
That cemetery, I haven't been in the cemetery, but it's close by here.
It's right straight up on the hill.
How far back, do you know how far back the gravestones go?
No, sir, they thought not even hard.
Right.
Our great granddaddy, I don't remember the date when he's right, but he's a him, his grandmother.
So there's some stones that don't have any writing on them, or I guess there are probably some graves that don't have any stones at all.
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah.
But I don't know when they didn't used to keep it up too good, and they started keeping it up real good. This cousin of mine, Jerry Lane, you know him?
No.
Elbert Lane, you know him?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, Jerry Lane started trying to get markers on people's graves that there wasn't none on.
Right.
Stuff like that. So they got it in good shape now.
Well, last thing I want to ask you is, if there, you know, there have been all these changes in the valley, is there anything that you'd like to see preserved the way it is? Anything about the land or people or some of the things that really made this place the kind of place you loved and wanted to come back to and never leave, because that's what you did?
Yeah, I'd really like to see who. Of course, you know you can't stop it, but I'd really like to see who's going to own the land out and stop selling the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see that river took care of a little better.
Right. And so the people who lived here for a long time realized what keeping the land was about and continue to hang on to it. And keeping the river better means keeping the branches and the trees and...
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful place. You picked a good place. Well, the place picked you, I guess, as much as you picked the place.
Yeah.
But you've grown up and lived in a beautiful, beautiful area.
Yeah. You're talking about your cousin Sandy now.
Right.
Now, wouldn't you hate to come back 2 or 3 years and see houses all over that place with her?
That'd make you sick.
I enjoy it, just going up that river, no houses, drive up through there, everything nice and quiet. See all kind of nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
beautiful.
When I was a boy, we used to go out there and pick, we call them luerays, we call them huckleberries then.
Right.
Every 4th of July, we'd go out there and pick huckleberries.
Uh-huh. Did you go up on the ridge where those rocks, the open areas up there?
Around the all rock.
Yeah, that'd be a good berry picking area.
And I'm trying to think who owned that property then. Doctor. Was it Dr. Howe? No, it wasn't Dr. Howe.
No.
It's Cummins.
I think so, yeah.
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 They didn't mind us going up her and picking other her.
Right.
That's just a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Running home, canning, and have huckleberry pies all winter.
All winter.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you talking to me about all these things.
Well, I appreciate you coming. I wish I could help you out more.
No, no, you've done great. I appreciate it. I'm going to turn this thing off now, okay?
Okay.
So we're turning this machine back on because Mr. Bain's going to tell us about the Indian Cave.
When you go up Green there and turn back to the right on the CC Road.
Yeah.
At Blue Ridge Church.
Right.
I'd say it's about a mile and a half, 2 miles on the right is a cave. You have to walk down below the road, I guess, 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of a cave, you think of going back in the mountain.
Right.
Well, this one goes down the mountain.
Oh.
And there's little ranch runs to it.
Uh-huh.
And why they called it Indian Cave, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But it's down below the road, and you kind of go downhill into it.
Yeah, a round hole. Well, you go down in it. My son's been in it.
Uh-huh.
And I was afraid to go in it because I took my sister to her to show it to her one day.
Uh-huh.
And it was in the wintertime. It was a real warm day, and there was a copperhead coiled up right there before you go down in.
He's guarding the hole.
Yeah.
And then there's a branch of a little stream down the bottom.
And at one time, somebody made liquor in there.
Uh-huh.
And my granddaddy told me that his daddy was in the Army at the Civil War. And they was in Knoxville, Tennessee. And their commander didn't get enough. They run out of food, everything, supplies. So a bunch of them just decided they'd go back home.
Right.
And he came back home and said he hid out one whole year in that
cave.
And that's when they lived in the rain field.
Uh-huh.
And said his wife would carry food to him. once a week and said she'd go a different route every time so nobody couldn't track it. I asked Grandpa one time, I said, was he a deserter? He said, well, I don't know whether you consider it that or not. They just had it tied on it. He had to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, how in the world did he get back to Knoxville, Tennessee? He said he walked just as hard as he could walk all night.
Not bad.
Before daylight, he'd find him a place to lay down,
good,
sleep, get a rush fall. Or,
right, yeah. Go to the ground.
Go to
yeah.
the ground.
Yeah. So, well, it was pretty... I gather, you know, you read the histories, and it was pretty rough towards the end of the war. I mean,
yeah.
they just didn't have anything.
Yeah.
Troops.
Yeah, I'd hate to have to fight in that war, wouldn't you?
Bad thing. Bad thing.
That's about all I know. That's all I know. I took a lot of people up there and showed them the cave. None of my people that I knew of had ever been down in the cave. My grandpa
right.
had.
Right.
And
but your son went down there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
My son had a good friend who was in the Rangers. And he was visited. They went up to show him the cave. And he said, let's go down in it. And he thought, well, he'd go, I can too.
Right.
They took a flashlight and went down in there.
Uh-huh.
And he said, there's a compartment here. And it's a small hole.
Right.
Crawl back in, and it opens up again.
Uh-huh. Kind of a chamber or room back
yeah.
inside. What is this story about the, is it the lead mine that's supposed to be down under the river?
Yes, sir. Now, my grandpa told me this a lot of times. He said he and his daddy, where Toad Daddy Hill used to live. You know where that's at?
I got a rough idea, yeah.
You know where that sawmill is on the left-hand side?
Yeah.
That old house up on the bank there? There was some irons lived there. And I don't think it's any kin to the irons here now. I'm not
right.
sure.
Right.
Anyhow, he said he went with his daddy when he was a boy to get lead. And he said the only time they'd let you have it, you'd come after dark. The day he'd gone for a while, and he come to that and said that shoes and her pants would be wet. And there's a lead mine there. He said, I don't really know. He said, I kind of surmised that they might have been ringing it from Tennessee and they just trying to hold it. But I heard the story that two men, I won't call their name.
Right.
They lost their whole crop one summer. Instead of hiring, they hunting the lead mine. That said they waded the river up and down.
Up and down.
Yeah. But nobody's never found it.
Well, it was one part of that story that I heard, the first time I heard it was from Robert Morgan, you know, who grew up down there near the Green River Church. And he said when he was a boy, he was told that there was a pool somewhere up there, and if you swam down through the water and got under the rock, then you could get into the cave where the lead mine was.
Yeah, I heard that. But I believe somebody had found it.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Plus, I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't be flooded by the river. I guess that's what I was trying to figure out. But he said it was a story he loved as a little boy because it was, you know, mysterious.
He wrote some interesting stories, didn't he?
He has.
Yeah.
He has. You know, his new book is Daniel Boone.
Yeah. I had got to read it. I can't read much. Read about 10 minutes. My eye gets to
right.
it. I can't.
Right. Well, I'm going to cut this off again now.